They should keep me away from anything that has anything to do with machinery or moving parts or anything like that.
Don't know what's ending is invented in the last 1,000 years.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid of it.
2,000 years.
And who are they?
What?
Who are they?
Who's they?
You said they should keep
everybody. All right. Today we're going to take a look at the sin offering. We've looked at a bunch of others. When you look at this, it seems, I mean, if you're anything like me, when I read it in the scriptures, it just didn't make any sense at all. Because you couldn't see it, you know, you couldn't see the thing, because we don't do the act, it didn't have any. And so it took a long time to do this, chart. But the first thing about the sin offering is that in order for you to be apprehended by it, or you apprehend it, you have to know the need for it. Now, just about everybody knows the need for a trespass offering. But your mind keeps telling you you have hope. And so you can never apprehend the sin offering until you see the vanity and futility of not just your life, but human life in general. You have to see the same thing that God sees. That's what confession means. Everybody have a grab of that? So the trespass offering is what you see. Everybody knows they screw up and they make mistakes. And so you know that you need something about the trespass. And sin and trespass are always confused by, there's no differentiation almost anymore. The trespass offering is what you do. Sin offering is for who you are. Because you are sin. Anybody get a handle on that?
So most of this is about sin offering, the first five, or what we would call corporately sin offerings.
That's what this is, that's what we're studying.
I know, I'm just clarifying that five of them are sin offerings specifically, and three of them are, well, trespass and sin. So they're all
sin offerings.
All sin offerings.
But what is apprehended is what's being discussed here. All right. So sin and trespass are off. They're the last in order of institution, but always first in order of application. Remember, we've talked that without Christ having been acceptable as the burnt offering, the peace offering, and the meal offering, the sweet savor offerings, he could not have been acceptable to be the sin and trespass offering. So by one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now, first we are apprehended by portions of the trespass offering. Then some apprehend the sin offering. Then some apprehend the peace, then the meat, and the burnt. So it goes in that order. And again, as I said, it's opposite in Christ. God sees a massive difference between sin and trespass. Very few believers do. Even in the New Testament, sometimes the use of sin and trespass is confused. In the Old Testament, never is. Now, first of all, do you have any questions about what you've seen on the chart, blah, blah, blah? Okay, one of the great failings of the modern church is they don't preach the difference between the sin and the trespass offerings. Because they don't see it. And as long as you don't see it, you'll never understand the cross. You'll never understand what it means for you to die. You'll always manage to keep yourself alive, and in doing so, you keep yourself in the kingdom of God. No matter how much you think you know, no matter how good your words are, if you don't live, i.e., this strange conundrum, if you don't live your death, then it's you haven't apprehended your death. Does that communicate at all? All right.
That kind of speaks to extending your tent pegs.
Right.
And not fearing the faces of men. Having
right.
courage to exercise your belief. Rather than hunkering down in a room and reading the Bible and having fun.
All right. Now, this is in contrast to the other offerings. All the other offerings are without blemish, but they're not a sweet savor. It was burnt, but it wasn't burned on the altar. It was burned outside the camp on bare earth. And it was the offering for sin, which is who you are, instead, and that's why there's both a sin and a trespass offering. I want us to go to 1 John chapter 3. This distinction is made clear here. The first part we all have read over and over again many times. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons or children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now that's not at the end, it's when he appears in you. You got that? And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. If you see it, you can't help but do it. It's automatic. Again, that's mainly connected with the sin offering. If you don't see the sin offering, then you'll never pick up the cross. You may talk about it. There's a massive difference between talking about it and doing it. All right. Whoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And we know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the sin hath sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he's born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Do you see why you have to apprehend the sin offering in order to understand that? You have to understand that Christ is your life. Otherwise, this makes no sense. I had a Bible study in Tulsa. A whole bunch of attorneys. And in every case, and two preachers were there. And in every case, when we read this scripture, they had just glossed over it. Whoever committeth sin is of the devil. Well, do you sin? No. Yes. No. Yes. You know. Because 1 John, if we go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So again, if who was ever born of God doth not sin. Oh yeah, I've been born again. Well, do you sin? Yes. Well, that, wait a minute. There's something wrong here. It's because there's no difference between sin and trespass in their minds. All right. The offerer. Let's look at the first one. It's the bullock.
Let me ask a question here. Were you saying this should be trespass in number 8 instead of sin? If we say that we do not trespass, we deceive ourselves, or we say
the only way you can trespass is if you resurrect the evil one. You understand that?
So then you would be.
Then you have both sin and trespass. It's both. They're joined at the hip. But the one that has to die is the sin. Because then there's a possibility of without sin, without trespass.
So we can be in him and trespass, but we can't be in him and be sin.
No. Yes, you can. Because you've resurrected the evil one. Every time you resurrect your mind, you've resurrected the evil one. So you have, and then when you resurrect the evil one, you are both sin and trespass. The seed of Christ cannot sin, because he is the way. He doesn't show you the way, he is the way. If you are in the picture, then you do nothing but sin. You will sin automatically unless you've seen your death. But the death has to be total. It can't be partial. Amen?
Still a question here. And in him, is sin defined differently than not in him?
No, it's always about the evil one. And you resurrect the evil one when you give breath to things in time and space. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Love is just the word, the verb, agapeo, and it just means give importance to. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It may be the love of the Father may be in him, but it is he's in prison. You put him in prison again. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I that liveth. The only way, that's all your mind does. Your mind, a constant attempt to resurrect the evil one. It never stops. Pretty soon you learn to ignore them. But if you pay any attention to your mind and your guidance is anything other than the cloud, then you'll automatically do two things. Well, first of all, you'll return to Babylon, because you'll automatically start going into cause and effect. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin.
Understand the quandary, because I agree. I mean, if 1 John 1:8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, the truth is not in us. Does Jesus say that? Or is that believers who say that? And if it's believers, is Jesus in them or not? If Jesus is in them, then Jesus is saying that. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves.
Right. Because the process of what we call sanctification is, again, getting all the salt, the pepper out of the salt shaker. And if you conceive of pepper itself as the trespass or the sin, either one, as long as there's any pepper in this, you'll get more pepper.
Yeah, one drop of poison in a bucket of pure water is not pure water.
Right.
I got that. But, I mean, it's still. I mean,
that's why he has to be your only life.
Right, but Jesus. I don't see how Jesus,
Jesus isn't saying it, he's, you are saying it.
Okay.
John is saying it.
So this is when you are got your eyes focused on anything other than Jesus, that's the truth.
And no, when you have, it's bigger than that, when you haven't seen your total depth.
Okay, yeah, I'm digging that. That's what I'm expecting. I'm just trying to figure out why it does seem like a quandary.
No, it's no quandary. It's only a quandary because we try to keep ourselves alive. But everybody does it. That's why you confess your sin. Confess your trespass one to another.
Well, I agree with that. I mean, that's always been one of my problems. You know, what are you going to do, Tom? 10 minutes after you walk out of here? Yeah. And that's exactly what will happen, just like it always happens. But it's like breathing.
Right. You have to continually, the warfare is never stops, probably until your death. Until your physical death.
Oh, yeah.
The warfare is you've got to bring every single thought into obedience, into captivity, to the obedience of Christ. That means the only thoughts you have are those which are connected with eternity. Everything else is cast down and destroyed. Amen?
Yeah.
It's kind of tricky waters here.
No, it's not tricky at all.
Well, I say it is. You say it's not. It's tricky in the sense of we have to focus. Now, who's the we focusing? I mean, if you're having to focus and you're still alive focusing, trying to maintain something.
You're not focusing at all. The moment you see that the moment you are doing world stuff, i.e. bringing your mind into play instead of faith, then you know you've gone back.
Then it's so much about you. You got to focus.
You just have to repent. It's all about repentance.
Then if you repent, then there should be some state where you're not having, I'm falling again.
That's what's called the renewing of your mind.
Well, what if you renew your mind, it's empty, and all this, you got to do something, isn't there.
Right, if you've renewed your mind, you are empty. There are no thoughts.
Stop ifing it. If it's done.
Oh, it's not done. That's the point.
Oh, then it's not done.
It's done in him.
Okay, then that's it.
No. That's why you must present yourself the living sacrifice and not be conformed to any part of this world. You bring into captivity every single thought to the obedience of Christ and a readiness to revenge all disobedience.
Yeah, so then it's all about you doing the right thing.
No, it's all about you. It's all about
you
disappearing. It's all about you disappearing.
Exactly.
The moment you bring yourself into being, the moment you give breath to something in the world, then you've resurrected the evil one. Or he has resurrected himself. You've never been in the picture.
I think that's...
Didn't I hear you say that repenting is not using your mind?
Well, I'd say that's the end result of repenting.
So if you're repenting and therefore it's not using your mind, then you basically have died.
Well, then it's like you said, you disappear. And these, what I hear as stuff you got to do to be in Christ is not there. You're in Christ.
Yeah, but you, again, who is the you? You got to understand, you isn't you. You is the evil one.
You has disappeared.
If,
but you want to give
no,
him breath.
Unless he's constantly trying to resurrect himself from the dead.
So you don't pay any attention to him.
Right, but but the way he does it is to cause you to give breath to things in the world, to cause you to live by cause and effect, to cause you to have a judgment against somebody, to cause you to not have forgiveness. It's all of the cosmic tells of the poker game. That's why you are always in a battle. Your warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual wickedness in this high place.
So then, most of the time, you're alive. That's what I hear you say.
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying most of the time. I'm saying when you reckon that you have resurrected yourself, than you, Father, forgive me. There's two lives. There's Christ and there's the evil one. The evil one resurrected himself from the dead. That's why we have the appearance of life. You've never been in the picture.
So then we're talking about the evil one resurrecting himself.
He already did it. He resurrected himself. That's why you must see that.
And but in Christ, he was done away with.
In Christ, he is.
Right.
But Satan was done away with.
Or the evil one. Or the evil.
Well, sure, you're the evil one. That's
Because of him, not because of me.
No, because you're of your father, the devil.
So it's not, again, about me, because I'm not in the picture, and I never was.
But if you do world stuff, then you're in the back in the picture.
And my life is of the devil. Find it.
Let's go to 2 Corinthians, chapter 10.
Where are we going? Sorry.
2 Corinthians, chapter 10. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing, actually it says high place, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself thinketh this again. As he is Christ, even so are we Christ, somewhat. Anyway, the warfare is always not to fix your mind, but to totally ignore it. That's what your mind is, what keeps you from life. It is the constant battle for the human race is to keep the evil one alive. And he'll always find a way to justify itself. He'll put Christ's name on the evil one. And it never stops. The only thing that stops is your capacity and your willingness to not to pay attention to anything of your mind. But if you feel, that's why we've talked about this many times, if you feel that you have to do it in order for you to survive, never justify it. You have to take the seat that then your life is back again being Christ and our God's business.
And this about the warfare, it's the point is we don't chin up to engage in the war. We trust that God has this power and has taken care of everything.
No.
So then we have to do this.
Right. Bringing every, this is what it says. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
Okay, mighty through God.
Through God, that's right. The okay. only way you could do this is through God.
Okay.
But you have to have a willingness to live by faith alone.
Well, that's fine. By faith, not by your actions.
You've got to repent or there's no faith.
Well, of course.
But the repentance is constant, Gary.
Well, where's faith?
When faith is there, when repentance happens.
Okay, can we hold that moment and be in faith for a second?
If you keep yourself out of the picture, you can.
Okay, well, I'm doing it. I'm out of the picture. So faith is in the picture. And in faith, these things are accomplished. Not by our willingness, not by our strength, but by faith in God who has already accomplished these things. And by his power, mighty through God, the strongholds are pulled down. Otherwise,
but not if you willingly go back to the way of the world.
Well, who did that?
You did.
No, I didn't. I'm in faith. And you won't let me. You won't let me stay in faith. You're always pushing me back to. I got to repent again. Repent again. Repent again. So I'm never out of the picture because I'm always repenting. So I'm not dead. I'm always doing something. At some point, you got to be in faith, and that's where you reside. Then these are the power of God working through you, causing imaginations to be pulled down. I mean, you're in league with God. You're not in league with yourself. So Christ.
If that is true, then it's true. But if you're in league with yourself, if you have any concern for self, if you haven't abandoned every part of you.
Yeah. So then.
So if you give breath to your mind in any way, then you're not in faith.
Exactly. Agree with that. But I'm trying to get in faith and stay there and not have this constant, I'm out of it. Either I'm in it.
But you're in it by abandoning yourself. That's the first predicate. But you can't take self back.
Can't I tell you that I've done that and it'd be true?
No, because it has to be a continuum. It never stops.
So then faith can't be a continuum.
Only if you abandon yourself.
But who determines whether I've abandoned?
Well, the word.
What does the word say about that?
It just said it. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ.
Okay.
And having a readiness to revenge the disobedience. Who's revenging it? You are.
Christ is. If I'm
go
in
to
faith,
first. Go to Romans 12.
If I'm in faith.
That's just like saying once saved, always saved.
Well, say that.
No, that's a bunch of crap.
Well, I'll never leave you or forsake you. That's crap. I mean,
again, listen.
Where did we go?
Romans 12, verse 1.
Okay.
He's talking to you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transfigured by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The good and acceptable and perfect will of God is Christ in you. Now that, in order, the whole purpose of time and space is the renewal of your mind. And the renewal of your mind he's not going to do something as long as you're there. His humility is so great that he always leaves when you occupy. You can say I'm living by faith, but if you're out doing the world stuff, then you're not living by faith. You're conforming yourself to the world instead of to faith. You have to constantly create this low pressure zone. And it is you that has to do it. It's you because the evil one is constantly trying to resurrect himself. This is how the disciples turned the world upside down in one generation. by total emptiness. They paid no attention to what their mind said. This is what these sacrifices of the sin and trespass are all about. If you're not dead, he's not living. And we'll get into more of that when we study more of the sin offering tomorrow. But
this actually has crystallized things in me that I've known for a long, long time, because I know that, I won't be able to walk down the end of the block probably without resurrecting myself. But it's, I finally got a crystallized picture of it in my own mind. And that in itself could be very bad. There's a switch. Satan keeps turning that switch on, says, think about this. And the only thing that this thing that's doing that thinking can do is say, nope, I'm going to repent and turn the switch back off.
That's right.
And then 2 seconds later, Satan's going to say, think about this instead. Nope. You just got to, I've got to live that about every 10 seconds for the rest of my life. And I can't do that.
Except, that's not true.
But, I depend on God to be able to work that out through me.
But you always have to have the willingness to turn the switch off.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. That's
now,
the one thing
listen,
I can do is remember
listen,
repent.
Listen, I can only tell you by experience.
Yeah.
It didn't take that long for me to know that my mind was my enemy. It took a few months after my conversion. It's abundantly clear that I can't use my mind. That my mind is the manifestation and has one goal, and that's to keep me alive.
Well, it's taken me 4 decades to see the switch, so.
I've used that analogy 1,000 times. Maybe you're in Afghanistan, but.
Yeah.
You've got
to. It's taken me 4 decades to be able to say that the thing back and completely understand it.
Good. We'll continue on this sin, because this is all of what this is about, the sin offering. And we didn't even start yet. So we'll continue tomorrow. Thank you, big guy.
I got it.